By the way, a reminder to please silence your devices. I think we had three calls last week. We're looking at the life of Lot, and interesting character. He's a tragedy. A lot of the characters we're going to be looking at as we go through our major minor characters are people that are anti-heroes, either villains outright or tragedies. We do have some out-and-out heroes we'll be looking at as well. But if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Lot is Abram's nephew. He traveled with Abram from Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran, and then continued with him into the land of Canaan. We know from the book of 2 Peter that he was a righteous man. In other words, not just a good and kind man, but rather he was a man who was trusting in the God of Abraham, the God, the Creator God. And so he traveled with Abram and went to the promised land. And I think that's pretty much where we left off last time. Is that right? Is that about as far as we got with Lot? All right. It's amazing how certain decisions, transform our whole lives. We may be going along, minding our own business or going along well and making progress in our lives in general, and ideally in our Christian lives. And then we come to a crossroads. And we have to determine what decision we're going to make. And the basis of a decision will very often determine the course of our lives. This is one of the reasons why I've mentioned time and again that we need to make sure that we are walking with God, that we are in fellowship with our God, in particular when you're having to deal with things like that, because if we are not empowered by the Spirit of God, if we are not being directed and led by the Spirit of God, if we are not filled with the Spirit of God, then we're on our own. And odds are we're gonna bungle it. We're gonna make a mess of it. And we so often do. Lot is with Abram. They are in the land of Canaan. And both of them were very wealthy, Abram and Lot. And it says in, let's go to Genesis chapter 13. And look at verse 5. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. They lived in one sort of tent compound with all their workers and so on. For their substance was great and they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. So there was other folks there as well. And so there's only so much ground available. We've got too many cattle. We're arguing, fighting over who gets the best pasture. I've got this many thousand sheep probably, this many hundred head of cattle. And there's only so much grass, maybe, and of course, depending on the time of the year. And to avoid the strife, Abram, who, by the way, was the older man and had the right to choose for himself what he would do. But Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go on the left." Now this is key. This is something we would miss. The land of Canaan, which will become Israel, is a tall, skinny piece of land when you look at the map. All right. It's depending on where you are, it's 50, 60, maybe 70 miles wide at the most, but several hundred miles north-south. The further north you go, the more rainfall they get. But even in the south, especially at this time, there was ample grass in the lowlands and so on. Now, if we look at a map, we Westerners, if we look at a map, what is our vantage point? We look to the north, and west would be on our left, and east would be on our right. That is not how an ancient Middle Easterner saw things. That isn't what his perspective. And this is still the perspective, not the perspective of a lot of folks. What they would do, and pardon me for turning my back on you, but we're going to do the perspective here. Their perspective, instead of looking north, they would look east. And so when Abram is saying, if you take the right, then I'll take the left. Or if you take the left, then I'll take the right. In the piece of real estate where they were, either one of them could go way to the north or way to the south, and they would still be in the land of Canaan. All right? If they go too far to the west, they end up in the Mediterranean. All right? If they go to the east, they leave Canaan. Keep that in mind. And God had sent Abram to Canaan. Canaan is the land of promise. And Lot is there with Abram to participate, to partake of the blessing to Abraham. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, which was well watered everywhere. Okay? Where's the plain of Jordan from their perspective? Which way is Lot looking? He's looking east. He's not looking north or south, which is what Abram was saying. He's looking east. He is looking to leave Canaan. He looks to the east. And understand that Israel is a hilly country. And the only level places, there's one little level place up in the north, but it's level along the shore, and it's level along the Jordan Valley. And he looks to the Jordan Valley. And it was water, well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. That would be the delta region of Egypt. Now, if you go to the region that that's being described here now, it is a desolate wasteland. There is almost no vegetation. There are areas that, and it gets almost no rainfall. Back at this time, evidently there were springs and rivers and streams that flowed out of the cliff sides and formed a network of small streams that naturally irrigated the land, and there was lots of grass and so on. These days there are huge cliffs of rock salt, which is something you don't normally find because they dissolve with the rain, but there is so little rain that you have cliffs and so on of rock salt because what we're looking at is what the area that is south of the Dead Sea, the south end of what is now the Dead Sea, which is also well below sea level. It's the lowest spot on earth. It's over 1,000 feet below sea level. And so he looks that way. And it says in verse 11, and Lot chose all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Now, why did Lot choose that direction? Why did Lot decide to go that way? Very simple answer. Lots of grass. I've got my wealth, my business, my livelihood is in livestock. If I have livestock, I gotta feed the livestock. And the more grass I have for my livestock, the better they'll do, and I'll have more, and my wealth, my business, my livelihood will grow. He is thinking purely about temporal financial things. Now, let's look at the parallel. Let's look at Abram. Abram left Ur of the Chaldees near modern Kuwait, way down by the Persian Gulf, traveled northwest the full length just about of what is now Iraq, and came to Haran. Stayed in Haran till his dad died. We know from the book of Joshua that his father was a pagan. Chapter 24 of Joshua. And then Abram continues on down into the land of Canaan. He's never been there before, and God is telling him where to go as he's going. Because he doesn't have a road map. You know, there's none of this stuff. His GPS is not working. The batteries gave out long ago. He gets there. He's not there for very long because there was a famine, and he continued south and headed west and went into Egypt. And he had problems when he got to Egypt. He lied. He almost lost his wife. He was rebuked and deported, forcefully deported from the land of Egypt. And Abram shamefully leaves Egypt. And he goes back to Canaan, where he was supposed to be in the first place, and he goes back to Bethel, where he had set up an altar when he went back and started over again. I'm going to go back to the place where I know God wants me. I'm going to stop wandering around. I'm going to be exactly where God wants me. And this is why Abram told Lot, okay, you decide, I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stay here in the land of Canaan, and if you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. But I'm going to stay in the land of Canaan. I'm not going to depart from that because I'm going to trust that God, in being where God wants me to be. Lot, on the other hand, instead of thinking about the most important thing being in the place of God's choosing, he's thinking strictly economics. Now, he got to Canaan in the first place by pursuing the idea of being where God wants me to be. But now he's become wealthy. And he's being drawn away. It doesn't have to be that way, but too often people with lots of money become captivated by too much money. I have known some people that were multimillionaires. And if you were to know that they were that wealthy, your jaw would drop because they didn't live that way. Instead, they lived like everybody else and were extremely generous in supporting a bunch of ministries and so on. And it's all right to be wealthy. It's even all right to drive a nice car and live in a nice home as long as you are generous with what you've got. As long as your priorities are in order. That's Abram. Abram is very wealthy. It mentions that repeatedly during the course of his life story up through Genesis 25. But Lot is fixated on the resources. And so he goes to the plain, and it says in verse 12, he pitched his tent toward Sodom on the south end of the Dead Sea. But it says in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And it was on several levels. The one that's focused on here in Genesis is the militant homosexuality that was going on there. There were other things as well, but that was evidently a key thing. In the last several verses here of chapter 13, God reinforces to Abram. He says, look to the east, west, north, and south. All the land that you see, I'll give to you and your descendants forever. Reinforcement that you are doing the right thing. You stay put. But Lot's heading east. All right, Lot isn't in Sodom for very long. Remember, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Remember, he's something of a Bedouin. All right, he sets up his tent compound. They stay there until all the grass disappears, and then they move on and set up again, and they eat all the grass there, and they probably shift around two or three different times during the course of the year because the rains come and the grass grows back. Chapter 14. We have a war go on. We have a Mesopotamian king. Mesopotamia would be modern Iraq. Or Babylon and Nineveh were in ancient times. We have the kings of, and in Canaan and in that region, you had city-states at this time. Like they did in ancient Greece. In other words, you didn't have a big country. you had a city and the surrounding villages, and the king lived in the city, and he dominated the city and the surrounding villages, and then 12, 15 miles away, there was another one of the same thing, and they formed confederacies and alliances. It wasn't like an empire or a country as a whole. Ancient Greece was the same way. And these petty kings were paying tribute to an empire builder over in what is now Iraq. And after a certain number of years, they rebelled. And so the guy came from Iraq, and he fought against these petty kings, and there was a war, and he captured the people. And it says in verse 12, or verse 4 of chapter 14, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. In the 13th year they rebelled. And the 14th year he came, and there was the war. And drop down to verse 10. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. That would be tar pits, like Rancho La Brea, Los Angeles. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Chedorlaomer, the invading king, took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in, by the way, and his goods, and departed. So Lot is taken away captive off to Iraq. But here's something interesting. Verse 12, just in passing, little thing. And they took Lot, Abram's brother, who dwelt where? In Sodom. So he's no longer pitching his tent toward Sodom. He is now living in Sodom. And he and all of his stuff, all of his wealth that he moved to Sodom to grow and protect, has all been carried away, including himself. I mean, everything, he himself and everything he's got has been captured and carried away. The rest of the chapter is Abram chasing down Chedorlaomer and defeating him in battle and rescuing Lot. Does Lot say, you know, I really need to go back to Canaan? No, he goes back to Sodom. Nothing changes. It does not get his attention. Sometimes we go through hardship and difficulty. Sometimes somebody said that the hardships of life are often an hors d'oeuvre to the banquet of God's blessing, because they get our attention to bring us back to the place where we're supposed to be. But Lot doesn't take heed. Lot doesn't learn the lesson. So, go down to chapter 19. Lot is still in Sodom. And the Lord, in a theophany, in human form, with two angels also in human form. By the way, angels are not naturally tangible, if I can put it that way. In other words, they take on a physical form from time to time, but they are spirit beings, it says there in the book of Hebrews. And God showed up with two angels there in chapter 18. They stopped at the camp of Abram, or Abraham. And God tells Abraham what he's going to do. And Abraham pleads for Sodom. And getting down to the point of, if you find 10 righteous people, will you forbear destroying the city? And God said, if I find 10, I'll forbear destroying the city. Now we go to the next chapter and you find out they couldn't even find 10. Chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. All right, that's a key thing. When he first went there, now remember, several years have gone by. When he first went there, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's a foreigner. Remember, he came from a long, long way away. He's not a local. He's a foreigner. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. The next time we see him, he is now in Sodom. Now we see him sitting at the gate of Sodom. He's become one of the elders, one of the rulers of the city. They couldn't find 10 righteous people. His impact has not been very good. We as believers, if we are to be salt and light, we have to be acting in obedience and have a right relationship with our God. God does not bless disobedience. Keep your finger here. Let's go to Psalm 1, which is a perfect reflection of what we're seeing here. Psalm 1. It says, blessed, happy, can be translated either way, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You have a progression here. All right, first he's walking along, and then he stops. His attention has been arrested. And now he's gonna sit down. All right. He has been going about his business, and then he was stopped, and now he's engrossed. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's now in Sodom, and now he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. And those who sat at the gate were the leaders, the judges, the elders of the city. This is Lot. Because in Psalm 1 it says, blessed is the man that doesn't do those things. And yet that's exactly what Lot's doing. The two angels show up in the evening. And Lot sees them and he rose up to meet them and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, showing respect. He may suspect who these are. And he said, behold now, my lords, showing honor to them. Turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. And you shall arise early and go on your ways. But they said, nay, we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed them greatly because he knows his city. He knows that it wouldn't be safe for these men, as he sees them, to spend the night in the city square, camping in the park or whatever you want to say. And he pressed them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. All right, so he's up till this point, from verse 1 through 3, he's doing well. The problem is where he is. He's in the wrong place. And I'm going to stop here. I know it's a little bit early, but what follows is going to take too much time. So we're going to stop here. So we're at the beginning of chapter 19. So our Roman numeral 4. And we'll pick that up next time. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, I pray that we would guard our paths, that our decisions would be made based on what you would have us to do instead of our own thinking, our own wisdom, or the world's perspective. And Father, as we look at the life of Lot, I pray that we would learn valuable lessons and learn, in this case, what not to do. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.